Welcome to Health Unabashed, a show that explores the edgy side of technology, transforming patient care, and the power of collaboration and innovation to advance the triple aim. Hosted by digital health advocate, author, and thought leader Gil Bash, the show looks at the thought-provoking ideas, people, and companies that are making a difference. I'm Greg Masters, the producer and co-host of the show, and join Gil as we engage industry talent who share their insights and best practices to create sustainable change. On today's show, our guest is physician, scientist, educator, and innovation and climate activist, Dr. Reid Omery, professor and chair of radiology at Vanderbilt University Medical Center and professor of biomedical engineering at the Vanderbilt University School of Engineering. And with that introduction, Gil, over to you.
Greg, thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. And it's always happy and thrilling to have you with me, my friend. We're with an incredible guest today on a very pressing topic. You know, I always believe that the planet doesn't need us. We need the planet. In a way, we're just a virus to the planet. And so we have certainly a social and business responsibility to care for the planet's health. But we have a medical responsibility to care for the planet's health. And I probably have one of the best people in the United States to speak to us about that responsibility. And that's Dr. Reid Omery from Vanderbilt University Medical Center. He's a chaired professor. He's in a very unusual background. Actually, I'm going to ask him to talk a little bit about that background. But he is an interventional radiologist. He specializes in caring for people with cancer. He's actually connected to the Department of Engineering. He has an engineering background. And when you bring engineering and medicine and technology and knowledge of public policy together, when you take a look at some of the really risk factors of what it is to have an ill planet and people standing on it, probably there's no better person to have on this program than Dr. Reid Omery. And Dr. Omery, thank you so much. Reid, I'm wondering if you could share a little bit about your background. And I know that radio is comfortable to you because you started your college career as a DJ on a rock program. And obviously, you've moved from rock music to caring for, obviously, geology. But tell us a little bit about that background.
Gil and Greg, it's such an honor to be here. I want to thank you and thank all the listeners. And, you know, I think a lot of ways our lives are hard to predict. And while I may have started out in college radio and being interested in rock music as a DJ, who would have ever thought, and I certainly wouldn't have, that I would live in Music City here in Nashville, Tennessee, and that I would be a physician, a scientist, an educator. And now as a father, really having a very different perspective for how I can bring my collective efforts to think outside of myself and outside of medicine, and to think broadly about what impact I might have to help our planet.
I also know that you are very dedicated to this concept. You're not new to environmental health. I understand that you also have a very successful podcast program going called Climate Is Us. And I would love to hear about the inspiration behind that program, but I'd also love to hear about how you're mobilizing one of our nation's great medical centers to really take a look at the environment. I just want to give our listeners an example of that I'm very sensitive to. Hospitals in the United States occupy about 5% of our commercial space. They use about 20% of our power grid in the United States. It's hard to believe all that technology, you know, when CAT scans are going and PET machines, all of that, and generators, it takes up a lot of power. And of course, in hospitals, we're dealing with tremendous amounts of non-disposable medical waste. Hospitals, I also believe, are going to be in the forefront of taking ownership of environmental health. Many different ways. They're transforming from paper to digital, of taking a look at sustainability, all of that. And Reid, I know you are really one of the people in the vanguard of that movement, raising awareness throughout the nation. So I'd love to hear about your programs. I'd love to hear about your perspective. And I hope you don't mind, because I know you're doing great things. Tell us a little bit about the heavy lifting that you're taking on.
Absolutely. And I think it's something that I've really been drawn to from wanting to make the biggest difference that I can. And as a young kid, I was always interested in astronomy and thinking about what a relationship I might have to the universe. And as a kid, I would use a telescope and want to look up at the heavens. What I found myself over time is, instead of peering into the heavens with a telescope, I would peer into the human body using imaging equipment, CTs, MRI scanners, ultrasound. And I was always a fidgety kid and wanted to try and understand how things worked and do what I could also to try and fix them. And so I found myself entering a field in radiology where I could try to fix things within the human body. That's what an interventional radiologist does. We might be able to inject materials that will help try and treat cancer, for instance. As a leader of radiology at Vanderbilt, I find that I have the opportunity to look beyond the single patient that I might be caring for and think, how can I expand the impact of what we do to affect more and more patients? How do we affect the health of people that are coming to our medical center? And how might we improve the health and the well-being of those outside of our medical center? Really asking, how do we scale our impact? How do we maximize that? And I think that's really what drew me into medicine, is trying to make a difference where I felt I could impact the well-being of others. And I found I can do that really effectively by either training the next generation of physicians, by taking care of patients directly, by conducting research. And as I've grown older, realizing that stepping out of medicine and trying to advocate for changes that will affect as many members of our community and our population as possible is something that is within reach.
Well, thank you for that. And, you know, it's suitable, it's appropriate that you're in Nashville. And I know that, you know, we joked a little bit about the rock music background, and here you are in Music City. And I always counter that, actually. You know, I think the music business in Nashville is about big business, about $26 billion per annum. And I think the health business in Nashville is about twice that size. You know, between Vanderbilt University Medical Center, one of the great medical centers of our nation, maybe of the world. And then you take a look at the Frist family and their innovative spirit and spawning off all sorts of innovative companies. Nashville has become the health provider capital of the United States. I'm glad you're there, because I think you're going to be able to affect more change nationally in the capital of the health system. And get stuff done. So I want to drill down a little bit to the problems. And, we talked earlier, I've been writing a lot about Echo Health. I am concerned about this across the board. I don't think that we sometimes think of it as pollution or climate change even, but we tend to forget that all of these shifts in our environmental ecosystem have a direct impact on human health, on the social determinants of health, on racial inequalities that deal with health. And, you know, I've had the pleasure of listening to you on your podcast program, Climate Is Us. I've had the pleasure of reading some of your work and visiting your website. I recommend everybody who's listening to us today, go see what Dr. Omre is doing. It's essential. That's all I'll say. I really would appreciate if you'd share with our listeners some of your big projects right now, because I think what you're doing is encouraging, inspiring, and I left visiting your work hopeful that we can affect change.
Gil, we're doing a ton, and we're trying to work as fast as we can to address this critical climate crisis. And I think the first thing that we need to do in healthcare is realize that this is an issue that affects all of us. When we realize that climate care is healthcare, we start recognizing that it's part of who we are. We entered medicine. And there's the Hippocratic Oath, the first do no harm. We in the healthcare industry emit so much pollution that when we look at the healthcare costs associated with that, the World Health Organization has estimated $2.8 trillion in costs in one year. So this is big. This matters. And we have to ask ourselves, for me as a physician or for others in healthcare, we have lots of trust that the public has and a significant need for we take care of people when they're sick. They rely on us. And to ask, how might we use that trust to speak for the planet, to speak for on behalf of those without voices, those who have been marginalized, and even those who aren't humans, other species, we have the opportunity today to start thinking not just globally, but with a planetary mindset, something that extends beyond nation states, beyond people, and recognizing the impact that we can have as humans on the planet, and how the health of the planet impacts humans. We're all interconnected.
So thank you so much for that. And you know, again, when I listen to you, whether it's your podcast or right now on our radio program, I feel encouraged that there are people like you mobilizing other people out there. In terms of your work in Vanderbilt University Medical Center, is there something that you want to point out to us that we should be watching closely?
Absolutely. And that's really trying to get the word out and inspire action at as many levels as possible. And we've done that, for instance, by having grand rounds where we will have experts in the relationship of climate change, say to policy or climate change to health, come and speak and share their knowledge so that we can start a conversation, whether it's amongst our trainees or whether it's amongst our physicians or our hospital administrators, for what we might do to start changing our way of practice. COVID has been a tremendous laboratory for us to learn about what we might do collectively and how to do things differently. One of the unexpected benefits of COVID is that it's opened up the willingness for everyone to consider how might we connect virtually. And we've seen the growth of telehealth immensely because of COVID. You know, I'm in radiology. In radiology, we started reading images remotely 20 years ago, and we called it teleradiology. And if I tell somebody now, if I try to recruit somebody into Vanderbilt Radiology and say, you should come join us because we do teleradiology, they'll just laugh at me. Everybody does teleradiology. Teleradiology is radiology. And we're going to find that telehealth just becomes another way of that standard of doing the care of patients, of taking care of patients. And they don't have to hop in their cars. We don't have all those emissions to worry about. And we can then start thinking about how does what we do in medicine impact carbon emissions? And we can start asking questions we've never asked before. You know, one question I'd like to know is, what is the carbon cost for a diagnosis that we create in radiology? When we do an X-ray, when we do a CT scan, for anyone that's maybe hurt their knee, perhaps a skiing accident and had to get a knee MRI. You know, what's the carbon costs of getting that scan? We don't have the answers to that, but that's going to be something that we want to start understanding, and we can consider it just like we do in radiology with x-rays. What is the radiation cost for some of the scans that we do?
You know, it's so critical that you bring this up. I actually wrote a piece about how telehealth is reducing or contributing to the reduction of carbon emissions. So when people don't have to visit their doctor and they're seeing their doctor, as we're talking right now, over obviously, you know, 5G bandwidth, the internet, we're reducing the carbon footprint. Every little bit contributes to this. You know, one of the things that I've got to think about, I'd love to get your point of view on, is the AMA and other major medical associations, you know, really have to get in there and advocate for, as you say, the reduction of our carbon footprint as part of medicine, as part of medicine. And what I'm really struck by, and I'm wondering if you could offer your counsel to us on, from my experience, having been in environmental affairs for the health innovation industry and having dealt with issues years ago, like Toms River, New Jersey, where, you know, barrels of chemical waste were buried, housing developments were built on top of them. We saw a disproportionate amount of pediatric cancer cases, usually blood cancers, leukemias. And we recognize that there is some connection between this and that. Flint, Michigan, we recognize there's some connection between this and that. So it's a two-part question, and it's not to put you on the spot. It's to take full advantage of your expertise with us today. One, why is it that we are constantly repeating the same mistakes? We know lead in pipes causes health risks. Doesn't always have to be life-threatening health risks, but it's health risks. Flint, Michigan is a great example of that. That's one. And two, what do we need to do from a public policy and public health standpoint to get on top of, first and foremost, the given health risks to our well-being that are really caused by environmental neglect?
Those are just fantastic questions. And to get to the point, you know, why do we repeat our mistakes? That's like, it's the art of being human. We, you know, how many times do we consider, you know, fighting with other countries as we're noticed right now in the world sphere? I think the more we can talk about it, the more we can normalize the conversation, we can ask questions and we can ask what we can do differently. And I think I'm a huge optimist in the future. I'm a huge optimist in terms of the younger generations, and I think they will push those like you and me and older to do better, to be better. And I think the more we can talk about it, and we can point out where we have we've perhaps changed, and we can use those as models. A great example, if we want to look at how a town, a city has changed, is Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, steel town. Even though I grew up in Washington, I love the Steelers as a kid in their heyday. And it used to be that you would go in Pittsburgh and you could put your hand out on the car and you would get soot. You know. And now it's turned into this incredible healthcare and engineering and robotics center. You think about how Cleveland has, you know, you'd have the river on fire. And now, of course, it's grown remarkably in terms of healthcare. So we have opportunities where we can say, when we change our practices that are polluting, we can elevate the status of everyone in this city. And we can point to Pittsburgh we can point to Cleveland as examples where that's happened and where we see maybe there's not that movement yet. For instance, with fossil fuels, and I'll call out like West Virginia, there's a real lot, like how do we get states to recognize that they can try and invent their future by making choices today?
You know, I'm thinking when you're talking about Pittsburgh and Cleveland, and Nashville, interestingly enough, these are cities with mega medical centers embedded in the heart of the city. The University of Pittsburgh Medical Center is certainly in the area of transplantation, for instance, is now the, you know, Tom Starzl created that as one of the epic centers of clinical innovation for transplantation. Cleveland Clinic, really looking at the community-based healthcare centers. Nashville, University of Vanderbilt University Medical Center, is not just a big medical institution. It has scores of community-based medical centers. So it with your leadership, and here you're a chaired professor of medicine, you straddle two departments, engineering and interventional radiology. You're working with cancer patients. So I'm going to ask you to safely prophesize. Will we see the rise of people like you embedded in major medical centers, all of a sudden creating some sense of sensible, trustworthy public awareness movement on the grassroots basis that gets our nation moving? And do hospitals have a bigger public health policy role to play in the environmental health movement? Now, we've kind of looked at corporations, or we've looked to corporations to do that in terms of ESG reporting, you know, environment, sustainability, and governance reporting. Maybe, or not, you'll tell us, maybe hospitals need more Reed Hombres to step forward and say, hey, we're leading a national movement of awareness. Why? We're health experts, and we know the connection between planetary health and human health. Listen to us. We have to work toward human health. How? Planetary health. What do you think?
100% agree. This is our decade. The time is now. It's going to happen. It's going to happen whether hospitals want it to happen or not. And when we look at what we've endured with this pandemic, we have to do this. What the pandemic taught us as major medical centers, that we have to step out of our lane. We have to go beyond the boundaries of our campuses. And if we use the vaccines as an example, this is where we had the discoveries in academic medicine. You know, the Moderna vaccine sparked by a donation from Dolly Parton at Vanderbilt, and then leading to the Moderna vaccine. And we see that science turn into something that is a tangible product. We need to have that made at scale. We need industry for that. And we need policy to come from the government to help. So no entity in this case could have tried to manage COVID alone. And we could hardly manage it even if we want to say working together, but you know, it didn't go as cleanly as we would want it. But we went through it, and unfortunately, we lost so many people. We actually hopefully are now in this. We're going to see it increasingly in the rearview mirror. We need to take all of that we did in COVID, and it needs to be a learn for what we do with the climate crisis. And we can take all of the pain that we have endured with COVID and turn that into something that can be used to teach us for what we can and cannot do in the future, and how we might do it better, we might do it faster, or we might do it more carefully.
Listening to you, having come also from a public policy perspective and working in government settings, I certainly don't want Vanderbilt to lose you, but I hope to hear your voice in not only the state capitol, but in the federal capitol. But with the time we have left, could you share with us 3 points that you would like us to remember from our conversation today? I'm going to share with you the 4th point, which is I invite everybody to follow you, Dr. Reed Omri. You're at Reed Omri on Twitter. I invite everybody to follow you on social media, follow your podcast. Climate is Us. Is that correct?
That was our episode from Vanderbilt. Yeah, very, very pleased.
So please follow Dr. Omri's podcast programs and papers. What's your big takeaway? What's our call to action here?
Yeah, so 3 points. I would say number one is we need to start talking about this. We need to raise it when we are in hospital meetings, when we are speaking with students, when we are recruiting individuals. We need to talk about this as something that we are addressing and something that we realize is a way to recruit the top talent into our organizations. Second, I think we need to ask the right questions. How do we change our practices? What might we do differently moving forward? And third, I would say we need to convert that talk and those questions into action. And we can convert it into action by embedding a planetary mindset into our daily practices within our health systems. So when we think about how do we source our supplies, if we're comparing two products, by asking the vendors, could you share with us your either your carbon footprint or your plan for circular design? And when we start doing that, then we really start changing what's happening within our medical centers, which allows us to change what's happening outside of our medical centers.
Dr. Reed Omri, what a privilege and an honor to have you with us today. Follow Dr. Omri on all his social channels, his website. I want to thank you. Obviously, planetary health equals public health. Thank you.
Thank you so much. A real honor.
And that's a wrap for today's broadcast. We want to thank our listeners for tuning in and our very special guest, physician, scientist, educator, innovation, and climate activist, Dr. Reed Omri, professor and chair of radiology at Vanderbilt University Medical Center and professor of biomedical engineering at Vanderbilt University School of Engineering. Follow Dr. Omri's work on Twitter via at Reed Omri, that's REEDOMARY, at VUMC Radiology, and at VUMC _insights, respectively. You can learn more about Health Unabashed on the program page at healthcarenowradio.com. We air weekdays at 10:30 a.m., 6:30 p.m., and 2:30 a.m. for the night shift, Eastern, or 7:30 a.m., 3:30 p.m., and 11:30 p.m. Pacific. Do keep the conversation going with Gil and me on Twitter via at Gil_Bash, that's B-A-S-H-E, and Greg Masters, M-P-H, and that's Greg with 2 G's. And remember to tag your tweets with hashtag Health Unabashed. Until next time, stay unapologetically passionate about improving health.